Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, and let's open the Word of God to 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 1. Now, y'all, it's still early. This clock says 9:30, so hey, we got plenty of time. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know, in the life of a church family in ministry, we want to not bypass special moments like this. I don't want this just to be a blip on our screen. We want to really take a moment to savor what this is all about. And so I want to preach a message this morning that goes right along with raising your children for the Lord and dedicating them to the Lord. You know, it's true, you can't drop your kids off at church and expect them to just turn out right if that's all you do. And I would say the same thing about a Christian school. You can't just drop them off at Christian school and expect them to be Christianized, you know, and come home all godly. I've worked in church ministry and in Christian school ministry most of my life. And I've seen the reality, the power of the home life. And it doesn't matter how many times they come to church or what kind of Christian school you drop your kids off at. If you don't follow the Lord at home, chances are all of that Christian stuff won't really stick to their heart. Now, there are exceptions to that, but the majority go with what they experience at home. That becomes their normal, and that's what they do. So a real dedication for a family like this is in the everyday trenches of living for the Lord at home. There's power in that. There's purpose in that. There's great importance in it. And that's what we want to talk about today. So we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I want you to notice with me in verse 9. If you found your place, we'll stand together, read a few verses, and then we'll sit back down. Let's pray together. Father, how we love you today, how we love serving you and living for you, though, Lord, we all confess that we need help. And, Lord, we think of this family. We think of Kurt and Claire, and we think of Arthur, and Lord, we know that they need help. They need your help. And we pray that you'd guide them and empower them, Lord, and use them in a very special way. As they choose to have a Christian home and raise godly children, I pray that you'd bless them, Lord, with guidance and comfort and strength and courage and all that they're going to need in the days ahead. We pray you'd be with them. Bless the message now and the reading of your word. We pray you'd guide us all, speak to all of us as we consider these things. And how important it is to live for and follow and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege of being here today with a great church family. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1, look at verse 9 if you would. The Bible says there, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Now that last part about the razor, that was what's called a Nazirite vow. Very special dedication in the Old Testament. Those that took a Nazirite vow were considered special to the Lord. Samson was one of those, if you remember. But that's not part of our message today. So let's skip down to verse 24. I mean the Nazirite part isn't, all right? Verse 24, and it says there, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. All right, and if you would skip over to chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor, both with the Lord and also with men. I want to preach a message that I've entitled, Things to Remember When Giving Your Child to God. Things to remember when giving your child to God. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, this isn't just for Kirk and Claire this morning, all right? This is for all of us. Now, I want to say right at the outset, okay, that Hannah gave her child to the Lord, much like what Kirk and Claire are doing this morning. But what she did was she brought Samuel, and he served and ministered under Eli the priest, and he actually lived then at the temple, okay? I just want you to know we don't practice that here at Beckwith Baptist Church, all right? No, don't drop off any children permanently. We don't have the ability to do that. But you know, really, when we're talking about dedicating a child to the Lord or giving a child to the Lord, she used the word lent. I have lent him to the Lord. You know, and when we're thinking about this, what we're really understanding here is the responsibility of the parents to raise this child for the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament day, everything was centered around the tabernacle and the presence of God. Okay, and so in her mind, she brought Samuel, and he was going to minister there. All right, and so he did. By the way, as Samuel grew at an early age, Samuel heard the voice of the Lord, and he responded. And that personal connection between God and Samuel was made, and that's what I was referring to earlier about Arthur. That at an early age, we pray that he'll accept Christ as his Savior, and that personal relationship with the Lord will begin. You know, that's really so special. That's what it's all about. You know, we can teach all the rituals and rules of Christianity and all of that thing, but if there's no real relationship with God there, then you've kind of missed the essence of what it is and what it means. And so don't skip over the fact that Samuel had his own relationship with God, his own connection, as God reached down and spoke to Samuel. And Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Samuel grew on to know the Lord. And if you understand Bible teaching, if you've read through this and heard the stories in Sunday school, then you already know that Samuel became one of the greatest Old Testament prophets. And here he was, not really even born into the Levitical priesthood, but brought in by Hannah and dedicated to the Lord at an early age. Never discount that decision to give your child to God. Never underestimate what God can do in the life of your children. Samuel became a great prophet of God and was used in a mighty way. He ministered to kings. And that's so wonderful to hear that story. But you know, giving your children to God, I want everyone to understand that it doesn't end with this ceremony and the final amen of those prayers that we prayed for Arthur and then for his parents. You know, it's really just beginning, isn't it? It's just beginning. There's no magic, right? This isn't a spell we're casting onto them. It's a prayer of dedication, purpose, and support. No doubt Hannah was praying for Samuel like that at home as he served the Lord with Eli in the temple. But as we give our children to God, we have to remember a few things. And I want to give these to you this morning. Number one, we have to remember that when you give your children to God, that means that you're dedicated to raising them God's way and not just your way. It's so very important to understand that, because we can pray a prayer of dedication, but if we don't follow that up with the right training, then it won't produce the final result that we expect. So we have to understand that giving your children to God means raising them God's way. Let me show you this, if you'll turn with me. Look at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Now, if you'll open your Bible to about the middle, you should land in the book of Psalms. And then if you'll turn to the right, you'll find the book of Proverbs. Go to chapter 22 there, and I want to show you just a verse there in verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. They say if you study this, the wording out on this, the idea is that if you train up a child in the way he should go, that is, we're talking about in the ways of the Lord, that it will instill in his heart some things that will never leave him, things he can never get away from. Now look, this verse doesn't ensure and it doesn't guarantee that your kids will be perfect if you take them to church. That's not what the verse means. But it does mean that if you raise them for the Lord, it says train them up in the way he should go. Now, this is coming from the Bible, and so we should automatically understand that the way he should go is determined by God, not us. Right? Train him up in the way he should go. What do you mean should? The things he should do. These are the things that God says we should. Right? Not necessarily that we think we should. Sometimes our opinions and expectations, sometimes they don't really line up with God's opinions and expectations. And if we're going to be godly Christians, then we have to be determined already. When my opinion differs from God's opinion, well, I'm going to go with God's. I'm going to just determine ahead of time that God is right, and if anybody's wrong, it's me. And so when there's a difference or a correction to be made, we're going to align with the Word of God, right? Not just with my opinion or my feelings on the subject. And you know, I really believe that the world we live in would be in a lot better shape if more Christians would practice that. Let's take God's position on the subject, whatever it happens to be. Let's promote God's conclusion. Let's promote God's should instead of ours. Amen. The Word of God is right, and God teaches us His good way. You know, there are many hymns and songs about it, and sometimes as we sing them, I'm just amazed at the words of the songwriters chose. Like that song that says, trust and obey. You know what it says? It says, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I thought, you know, that's really true. When we follow God and do what His Word says, that's when we're the happiest, isn't it? You know, that's why David said, make me to go in the paths of thy commandments. He said, for therein do I delight. David even understood that when I'm doing the will of God, that's when I'm at my best. That's when I'm happiest. I'm delighted when I'm serving the Lord. Let's look at another verse. How about Ephesians chapter 6 over in the New Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then Ephesians. No, there's a few books in between. Ephesians chapter 6. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, right? Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, the Word of God is nurturing. You know, Paul talked about serving, and he gave this comparison. He said he serves those new believers as a nurse cherisheth her children. Think about that. What a great picture. What a beautiful picture of the love of God for His children. You know, as we parent our children, and we want to dedicate them to the Lord, then we have to understand a little bit of that nurturing role that God the Father has with all of us, right? And by the way, that means we understand when they make a mistake, when they fail, we deal with that graciously. And we help them get up and do it again, try again. Isn't that what Proverbs talks about? The just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. The idea is that he keeps getting back up. He keeps trying. He keeps trying. In order to create that and support that, we have to have an unconditional love for our children, and we have to have a nurturing approach to them as we seek to train them in the Lord. In the way he should go. That's determined by the Word of God. It requires us as parents, doesn't it, to know what that way is. By the way, it says train them up in the way. That means you got to be there with them. You can't have your kids serving God and you living for self and the world and the devil and all that. That doesn't work. You can't be doing wrong and telling your kids, don't do what you see me doing. You do the right thing. That doesn't work. Because your kids are watching you and they're thinking, oh yeah, when I get old enough, I'm going to be like you. I'm going to do what you're doing. If you want your children to live for the Lord, then you have to live for the Lord. You have to set the example. You have to be in the way with them. That's why you don't send your kids to church. You bring them to church. Right? Now, we're happy for anyone that'll come to church, even if they're sent. We'll take them. But it's better if you bring them. That's the idea. Bring them. God is teaching us how to dedicate our children, how to raise them for the Lord. Raising them God's way is how you give them to the Lord. Number two, thoughts to remember, things to remember when giving your children to God. Number two, you have to begin with the end in mind. I would challenge Kirk and Claire this morning. I know they've probably already done this, but you have to think down the road of life a ways and think, okay, in their case, they have little Arthur. They have to think, what do we want? How do we want Arthur to turn out? What kind of young man do we want him to be one day? They have to think of that and then back up and say, okay, what steps do we have to take now to get him there? What do we need to instill into his life so that he grows up and turns out to be that? Right? Those are things you have to think about. Begin with the end in mind. You know, that was happening in Daniel. In Daniel's own life, he wasn't raising children in this instance, but Daniel had determined that he wanted to live for the Lord. And all those plans got interrupted when Daniel was taken captive and taken to Babylon. And when he got to Babylon, the king had this special program, and he set out a banquet. He set out some meat for these captives, right? He took the prime young people of the land of Israel, and he had them captive now in Babylon, and he's going to teach them in the Babylonian culture. And so one of the things he does is he sets out this food for them. Well, the food that the king set out violates the Old Testament dietary laws that Daniel was living by. Okay, we would say it like this. This program violated Daniel's religious convictions. He found himself in a conflict because the environment, let's say it like this, the environment at work contradicted his faith. Oh no, what do we do? Well, Daniel had the end in mind. He wanted to be faithful to God. He wanted to serve God. So the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He wasn't going to participate in that. So what did he do? He didn't grab a soapbox and preach at everybody, right, and act like a jerk at work. The Bible says he went to his supervisor and he made a request, a very polite, humble, sincere appeal. Hey, look, we have convictions that don't allow that. May we do this instead? So he came with a solution. That's how a lot of professionals would like to look at that. Don't come to me with problems, come to me with solutions. Well, Daniel had one. Hey, let's do this instead. And so he made that appeal. He brought that solution in. And the supervisor knew if this didn't work, it was his head. So he delegated that responsibility to somebody else. I don't know if you caught that reading the story. So he does. And the new person, the in-between supervisor, if you will, says, okay, we'll give it a try. And so they try it, they test it out, and it works. And so then they're allowed to stay on that. You know, sometimes we read that story and we think, oh, well, hey, look, they instead of eating the king's you know, pork steak. They ate beans for a few days. No, you know that was like 3 years. It was a long time to eat the same thing every day. Don't tell me that wasn't a little inconvenient, maybe a little boring, monotonous, whatever you want to call it. But you see, Daniel, he didn't mind being a little inconvenienced serving God in order to get the outcome that he wanted to get. And you know, as parents, that's what we got to remember. We got to remember the outcome. What are we shooting for? Because there's going to be some things along the way that are going to test and challenge and try all of those convictions. Hey, it's not going to be easy and it's not going to be convenient. But if you stay with it, right, then you have a better chance of the outcome that you started out with. Let's go to the book of Psalms, and let me show you a couple of verses on that subject, beginning with the end in mind. Look at Psalm 144, if you would. Psalm 144. Psalm 144, verse 12. It says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the multitude of a palace. This is a great verse that my wife and I considered when we were thinking of the end for our children. And it's something I think all parents wish for, right? Maturity and growth, stability in your kids. And this talks about particularly, you know, you might look at a child who meets this description. You might look at them and say, oh, they're mature or they're wise beyond their years, right? That's what we hope for. By the way, the Word of God can give that. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God does not withhold wisdom from those who seek it, if you seek it in the right place. The Bible also makes a distinction between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. So you can be wise, but which one do you want to have? Because I know a lot of people that are very streetwise, they don't know nothing about what God said. So if you have to choose between the two, I hope you'll choose godly wisdom. This is one of the things that we want to cultivate in our children. How about Psalm 127, if we'll turn back there. Psalm 127, and then look at verse 4, if you would. Notice it says in verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. My mother said one time, God knew what he was doing when he gave children to young people. Well, you get a little older, you kind of can relate to that wisdom right there. But God says children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So we got to think about that, and what does it mean? It means you're beginning with the end in mind. What is somebody shooting an arrow? What are they doing? They're not looking at the arrow, but they're aiming that arrow to a destination far beyond the tip of that arrow where they want that arrow to land. So they're beginning with the end in mind, right? They're looking at the target. Well, I'll give you just one thought about that. What is the target for your kids? You know, we can raise them for a lot of things. You want them to have a successful life, a six-figure income, all this kind of stuff the world will tell you is important. How about keeping this in mind? Why don't you aim your kids at God? Teach them to seek the Lord and His might and His wisdom. Teach them to get into the Word and be godly and be scriptural. They will find treasures in the Word of God to guide their life. But you have to point them there. Where will you point your children? What will you teach them is important in life? It matters. Right? It matters. So we need to make sure that we're focused on the Lord and help them to be. Number three, things to remember when giving your children to God. More will be caught than taught. As you raise your children and your family, more will be caught than taught. Let me show you what I mean. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And if you would, notice verse 5. This is a passage written specifically to the Christian home. And it says in verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." This is not written to children. It's written to parents. Love the Lord God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, and with all thy might. Notice verse 6. "And these words," talking about the words of God, "and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Verse 7. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And you can continue to read the passage. It goes on and on. But verse 7 is talking about perspective. It's talking about your worldview, your lifestyle, right? Look, it's you don't just teach your kids about God on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock. You talk to them about the ways of the Lord and sometimes the ways of the world. And you do that throughout life in your daily agenda as things happen. When you sit down, when you rise up, when you move around, you know, your kids are going to see things. They're going to hear things. Those are going to be teaching moments. And it's up to you, parents, to capture those as much as possible. Make those teaching moments to help your kids have a Christian worldview, a godly perspective about life and the things of life. To see, teach them to see the issues of life the way God sees them. Because if you don't, the world will teach them to see those issues the way the world sees them. They will grow up with man's view of man instead of God's view of man. Oh, listen, that's not the same ending that we're talking about today. You want to be careful about that. More will be caught than taught. So this passage emphasizes the interaction on a daily basis. Now, earlier I was talking about that, how you can't just Christianize your kids by dropping them off at church or Christian school. They're going to get what they see at home. It's going to become their default, their primary understanding of life. And so that's why this passage is so important, because they're gonna catch, so to speak, what they see in everyday life, and their minds are recording that even when you don't think they're paying attention. Kids' minds like a magnet. And when they grow up, I'm gonna tell you what, look, this is so true that when they grow up and they become parents, they're gonna catch themselves sometimes. They're going to have little flashbacks. They're going to do things exactly the way you did them growing up in the home. And they're going to have moments where they say, "Oh man, that's something my dad would do." Come on now, can I get a witness? Is that true or not? It is, isn't it? We've all done it. You know, when you're growing up, you say, "Oh man, listen, when I have a family, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do things different." And by the time you have a family, you've forgotten what all that is, and you're going along one day and you have this epiphany moment where you go, "Wow, I just did what my dad would have done," right? Or what my mom would have done. And it just happens. Where did that come from? Well, it came from this truth: more will be caught than taught. And you mark my word, they're catching stuff that you don't even know they're paying attention to. It's amazing how they do that. But children, sorry. There we go. All right, last point, number 4. Now, you can have more kids than this. This is just 4 points for the message, all right? Here we go. Number 4, things to remember. You can't give them what you don't have. You can't give them what you don't have. Did you see verse 6? We're in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verse 6, this is what the Lord told parents that are going to try to raise their children for the Lord. He said, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." hey, you know, you can't teach your kids to love God if you don't love God. You can't teach your kids to be faithful to the things of the Lord if you're not faithful to the things of the Lord. You can't teach your kids to be scriptural if you don't even know the Bible. So the real secret of godly parenting is you have to lead yourself first. You have to do right. You have to get in this book. You have to be in church. You have to love God. The Lord said, it's got to be in your heart. It amazes me sometimes at the desire that some Christians have. They don't want to serve God, but they want their kids to grow up and be missionaries. That's not how it works. If that happens, that's more the exception to the rule than the rule. Even the Lord said, if you want to raise a godly family, it's got to be in your heart. And so I challenge you parents, not just Kirk and Claire, who were brave enough to come forward and do this public ceremony. That's special. That's important. Hey, but you know, all of us need to stop and think for a moment. If we're really seeking to raise our children for the Lord, we have to go after the Lord ourselves. It has to be real in us. The desire to love God, obey His word, and live for Him. If we don't do that, then certainly our kids aren't going to do it. Because you can't give what you don't have. You know, these things sound simple, but sometimes they can be very difficult to do. And I want to ask you to join me as we pray for the Hebert family. And as they seek to raise their children for the Lord, let's just be a prayer support for them. Because, hey, they're going to need it. And if you're going to raise your family for the Lord, you're going to need it too. You're going to need a network of people praying for you at times. Let's be that. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, then you really may not understand what all this is about. But listen, when you know Christ and you love Him so much because you understand what He did for you, and you want your kids to know Him just like you do. Matter of fact, even better. You want them to have more of it, right? And I challenged my own kids as they were growing up. Hey, beat me. Be a better Christian than me and your mom ever were. I hope they do. Give it a shot, right? Because we all want to see our kids excel. We want them to have even the things we didn't have. But don't fail to give them what you do have in the process. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, this would be a great time to come forward. Let us take a Bible and show you how. If you want to live for the Lord yourself, in a moment, we're going to have an invitation. It'd be a great time for you just to come and say, Lord, help me. Help me to live for you. Help me to love you. Help me get in your word more. Help me be at church more. Help me grow. Right? Maybe one day you want to dedicate your children to the Lord also. You've got a head start. You understand all these factors and what goes into it. And you can start preparing. Because you need to have the end in mind, right? From the beginning. So you know where you're going. I want to congratulate Kurt and Claire and let you know that I think you're among friends today. We'll be your prayer corner and your prayer support group, and we're going to be rooting for you. God bless you in the days ahead. Let's all bow together in prayer. Father, how we love you today and how we thank you so much for this special time as a church family that we get to rally around one of our own who's just taking a step forward and saying, hey, we want to do this, something special. We want to raise our family for the Lord, and they're starting with Arthur. Thank you for blessing their home, and thank you, Lord, for putting this desire in their heart. And Lord, we do lift them up in prayer, and we ask that you would just surround them, Lord, with your Spirit and your word, and you would just guide them all the way, that they might have your strength, your courage, and Lord, your wisdom and your word to guide them through the ups and downs, through the trials of life, the difficult moments, and all of it. And we pray for Arthur, Lord, that he would grow up to live for you. to love you, to know you at an early age. Lord, to bring many souls to you in salvation. And one day raise a godly family of his own. Lord, and we'll thank you for all that you do. I pray you'd work in every heart and life. There's someone else here that needs to make a decision today also. May we do it in this, our invitation time. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.